Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Birds on a Blue Note. You got your captains here today, and we are going to be discussing the Diamondback series that we just got out of, giving you guys a little bit of a recap. And stick around to the end. We are going to be discussing some player development and our thoughts on whether or not the Cardinals are actually good at developing our players. Not just in the minors, but in the majors as well. But again, before we get to that, jumping into the Diamondback series. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. It's finally
Yes.
starting to get some offense in there, mixed in with some ugly. But hopping into game one, this is one of those ones, especially coming off of the Brewers series, when Diamondbacks actually struck early in the second. Kind of got a little worried if this team was going to be able to respond, but thanks to some late inning heroics, Goldie getting a nice home run, and Gorman jumping on that first pitch, we were able to pull off a 5-3 victory. Helsley was able to hold on to the game and get a win for himself, moving him to 2-2 for the year. It was just nice to see some power from a few guys that have been lacking it. What were your takes on that game, RJ?
Well, yeah, a couple. Like, obviously, the Gorman home run and the Goldie home run were both huge. Like, if you could have picked any two players to get going, it would have been them two, right? So, and I know there's still some concerns with Goldie because he struggled a little bit the rest of the series, but it was still nice for him. Just nice to see that he still has that power, especially hitting an oppo. He hit it like right center, like 430. I mean, and Gorman, like, before he could even see who was brought into the game, he jumped all over him. His lefty lefty first pitch, it was over. Like commercial break, jumped to Gorman, the game's over. Like, I don't even know who they brought in.
That
It
was
happened so
really
fast. One of the key takeaways I had though is like how important Lars Nootbaar is to this team. Because it seems like every game we win, he plays a key piece and doing so. Prior to that Goldie home run, he had what was a sixth inning, 2-run single with 2 outs. Like, that was super key to us coming back in that game, as well as Lance Lynn. I mean, we signed Lance Lynn to be like a fourth, fifth type starter, and he's really been like a 2-3 for us. 5 innings, which is decent, you know, in today's game, but he only gave up 3 runs. He kept us in it. You know, there's times where he struggled to locate, and there's times where the Diamondbacks threatened to like really put this game away, but he kept us in it. He bared down, has that bulldog mentality. You know, he's the type of pitcher you want on your team. You know, he's going to give you everything he's got every time he's out there. And he does not, you could tell he hates giving up runs. He kind of has that old school, like, fuck you if you score on me. Like, I'm going to strike out the next three batters. Crotch grab, you know, like, that's just the type of player he is. And you love watching him because he shows so much emotion. You could tell he cares so much about winning.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, like, back to the bullpen, you were talking about Helsley, like, just the whole bullpen. Like I said, Lynn pitched five, gave it the three. Then we had Fernandez and then the Kittredge, Romero, Helsley, like three-headed dragon at the back end of the game. It's just been elite and one of the best back ends of the bullpen in all of baseball. You got between the four of them, four shutout innings.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what really allowed us to come back and win that game. Bullpen has been elite. I mean, of all the things you can complain about so far this year, it can't be the bullpen. They've really done their part. And Helsley, as you mentioned, he got the win, but he's pitched in every win the Cardinals have had this year. We're at 11 and 13, 11, 14, and he's been in all 11 games that we've won. So those are really my key takeaways. Anything I forgot to mention?
Not really. I mean, even with the starting pitching outside of a few, bastardizations like game two that we're going to talk about, they've been doing their job. Lynn overall 2.81 ERA, struck out 7 on the game. Like you said, Fernandez was the worst ERA out of the relievers on there, and that's only because he's come in a lot of the blowouts to eat up a bunch of innings and just taken
Yeah.
a beating. So I can forgive his ERA, but Kittredge is at 1 on the dot. Romero's at 1.59, and Helsley had that bad game with the Dodgers and that. But other than that, he's been pretty lights out.
Yep.
But the thing that I really liked to see that got me happy was seeing Goldie go 2 for 4 in that game. And it wasn't just his home run, but him getting on base before Gorman came in to pitch in. there, and I mean not pinch hit, but before Gorman came in.
Yeah, he didn't start the game.
Sorry, yeah, he ended up coming in for Burleson as the defensive substitution in that. But I mean, if Goldie doesn't get on there, who
Right.
knows? We
Yeah.
might be going to extras again, and it might be one of those things that,
It's
and that was
burning
our
out
first
open. Yeah.
walk-off of the year. That's
Yeah.
one thing that we both missed. That was the first walk-off for the Cardinals this season. And it couldn't have come at a better time with the team coming off of those struggles with the Brewers
And it
and
couldn't have
whatnot.
come for better players, right? Like you need Gorman and jumping the gun a little bit, but like since that game, he's been doing pretty well. You know, it's just we'll get into that as we get the other game recaps, but it was good to see. You know, it's he's definitely a key piece for this team, like this season and the future. So you want to get him going.
Yeah, you definitely want to get him going there. But that led us into game two, obviously, and we had Mats on the mound. So game got started off pretty well for us. Contreras homered in the bottom of the first, his third of the year. Nice little deep shot. And Mats got through the second as well, unharmed. But once they got to the third, the Diamondbacks just piled it up on
Yeah, it
us.
happened fast too. It's crazy how fast it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Over
those
the course of four innings,
are
they scored all their runs.
Yeah, I mean Mats gave up seven earned and I think Thompson came in and he gave up seven earned. Yeah, it got ugly fast. You know, when he
It
did
did.
those walks, it was the walks that killed us too. I think it's like walks and then like a blooper and then they'd hit one over the fence.
Yeah.
It's like it happened so quickly.
It was rough. It was
Yeah.
definitely rough
I'd
that
say the
game.
bright spot for me, Gorman went like after following up that walk off the night before, he went 2 for 4 with a double.
Yeah.
The double was a gap shot left center. So he was waiting back on the ball a little bit. Seems to me that he's seen the ball better. He definitely changed his stride too. I don't know if other people notice this. Like his load up to the stride is shorter now because he has enough power anyway. I think that was kind of slowing down his swing and he kind of changed mechanically, adjusted, which is what you're supposed to do. It's a game of
Sure.
adjustments. And that's kind of helped him get the bat to ball a little bit better. But yeah, other than that, it was an ugly game that wouldn't really like talk about it too much. You know, it's not fun.
No, it wasn't. I mean, one thing that I did like about that game that really, with how quickly it got away from us, I honestly thought we were going to eat through most of the bullpen that game.
Yep.
So say what you will about Thompson giving up seven runs, he took his beating like a fucking champ, and I will
They
thank
got
him for
sent
that.
down
That
for
game was already
it.
over by the time he came in, basically.
Yeah.
And he took his licks. He gave us just short of three full innings, got us through the seventh, and then Robertson came in, actually pitched really well.
Yeah, that's another note I had too. Two scoreless for Nick Robertson. It just wasn't really expected, but I mean, you take those. Like those are, especially when you're like in almost like an unknown commodity. Those are your opportunities to kind of show what you're capable of, to maybe get into more high leverage positions in the future. So it was nice. It was good for him to be able to show up and throw those two scores, especially with the Diamondbacks offense. It was clicking on all cylinders. It seemed like every time they were up there putting bat to ball, and it was like either a gapper or like right over the infield or over the wall. So
Yeah,
that was good.
everything was working for them. And again, that's why you gotta remember that it's one game at a time and doesn't matter. You don't get bonus points if your opponent puts up a lot of runs. Now, don't get me wrong, there were the obvious continued offensive struggles that were a bit worrying, but don't want to dwell too much on this game, because obviously we're here to focus on the series as a whole. And when you're able to come away with a series victory like we did, it's ultimately what matters and whatnot, at least in my opinion. Before we jump to the third game, any last thoughts on that
Not
terrible
particularly. Like you
blowout?
mentioned, you'd like to see a little more offense because, like you said, Contreras hit that first inning home run, and that was it for the game. But then again, to the, I don't know, maybe the way that the game went with the pitching, it kind of defeated the offense a little bit. There were some subs, like we subbed Arenado out, we subbed Goldie out. You know, we're playing backups for about half the game too. So It doesn't really matter too much, but you would like to see a little bit of offensive rhythm, even if it's a blowout. But
Even
yeah, that
just
was probably
singles,
it.
I'd like to see some hits. We had 6 hits all game. I'd like to just see some hits. That's
Yeah.
all. You know, I don't care if you score them. Show me that you're trying to get on base, that you have that a little bit of pride. But again, no sense in dwelling too much on that because they went out, got some sleep, and came back to face our old friend Monty on the mound.
Yeah, who apparently drove in with Dylan Carlson. He was talking on the radio about how he drove in with Dylan Carlson and almost walked to the Cardinals clubhouse just out of habit. But
Well,
yeah, it was a nice bounce back. That's it was who did we have? We had Gibby going for us.
we had Gibby going. So a lot
Yeah,
of
so it
people,
was a
especially after that 14-1 trouncing, we were coming into this game, and a lot of people were like, oh, it's over. We've lost. Fire everybody. Sell off the whole team. Gotta admit, even myself, I was a little bit worried. I needed to see us do something this
Yeah.
game to calm my fears. And thank goodness it took a little while, but the team did show up and they finally got to Monty. Gibby only let up that run in the first inning. And I mean, pulled off that 5-1 victory. Newt, who you were talking about earlier, and I'm sure you'll get to a bit more in a second, but he had that critical 2-run double. And then Monty, we love you, buddy, and we know you miss us here. So thank you for that pass ball. We appreciate it. Thank
Yeah,
you.
right. Not very often you see Arenado hustling home on a pass ball. It's he's not the
Not often do
fastest
you see
on the
Monty
team.
throwing a passed ball.
Yeah. But yeah, I did want to mention Kyle Gibson a little bit. I know he had that blow up start in Miami where he gave up the 6 runs on the first, and you can't really do this in baseball. You can't say, well, but except for that one time. But if you take away that one blow up and against Miami, he's got like a 2.17 ERA and everything else combined. So outside of, like I said, you can't really, I know it all counts in baseball, but outside that one crazy inning, I mean, he's been really, really good for us, better than expected. He's keeping us in, except for the one, he's
Better.
keeping us in games. He's been pitching us into opportunities to win. And like I said, if we, where we are right now, if you get late in game with a lead or like a tie, you feel pretty good. I mean, our back end again, like I said, three-headed dragon's been elite. But yeah, you're talking about Newt, like, and then I want to talk about Gorman again. He got an RBI single in the seventh, so he contributed in all three games, which you love to see, because like prior to the series, he was like striking out 40% of the time, and he just seemed like he was completely lost. So it seems like he's turning around a little bit. Arenado continues his hot hitting for the last few weeks. He started off really slow, and he's coming around. The power numbers aren't there yet, but he's hitting about every game. Like I said, Newt is so key to this offense's success. It seems like every game we win, he's a part of it. Not yet, like I said, another 2-run double in the eighth, to really put the game away.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I loved about this game is we got contributions throughout the lineup. Donnie with 2 hits, Willie with 1 hit, Anato with 1, Goldie with 2, Newt with 1, Wynn with 1, Gorman with 1. The only people that didn't get hits were our catchers, Herrera and Page, and Ciani.
Yeah, but you don't really expect that from Siani either. He's just
No,
kind of a placeholder until Edman or Carlson comes back. And I'd
but
say he's been good defensively. Yeah.
still the point stands. 7 out of 9 of our batters contributed to hits, and that's what you need. Ultimately, at least in my mind, we even had there was oh, what was it? There was no one with that crucial single with men on it. Second and third and one out. He's been struggling a lot with that lately. So to see him come through with that single was really, really big. Hopefully for him. And then just the bullpen taking over again and throwing 3 scoreless innings. Mojo Jojo coming in,
Yeah.
Kittredge and Helsley. I know some people were questioning why you throw Helsley out there again, especially in a non-save situation. And I can kind of see that argument, but at the same time,
Off day today.
yeah, the
Yeah.
off day, and you want to keep him warm. If he was scheduled to throw anyways, might as well get him that action.
Not only that, we're going for the series win too, right? That's the most important thing. You know, like we've been critical of Ollie when he makes bad decisions, but this is not one I think you can be critical of. Like you're trying to win the series, and we've seen what this Diamondbacks offense can do.
You
They were
can't be
down.
critical of them. You obviously don't want to let them in, but at the same time, you just hope it doesn't come back to bite us in the ass later in the year. I mean, it is just one inning, but if you keep doing these things, it does add up to multiple innings that can add to fatigue from a guy that's really dominant and we need to, keep his arm fresh. But I'm not concerned about that ultimately. At least from here. But yeah, like I said too, Goldie with another 2-for-4 game. So batted 500 in two of the games. His batting average back up to 200 on the year.
There we go, above the Mendoza line.
It's funny that during the last recap, the Brewers one, remember how we were talking about Goldie's numbers around the same time
Yeah.
last year? Maybe this is just around the time that sometimes he just starts getting hot. Whatever it is, I'll take
I
it.
hope so. I hope so.
I hope this continues into the Mets series, obviously. But I mean, that's really all the thoughts that I had. Other than last, you mentioned Gibby for a five. This is way more than anybody expected from him. The ERA is right where it is, but overall, but. If you told me we were getting this many quality starts from him this early in the year, I'd been like, no, you're fucking with me. Like,
Yeah, he's only
and
really
I
had
was a
one
proponent
game
of the
where.
Gibby signing when he was announced as R5. I was like, okay, I can take Gibby as a five type of deal.
My issue was not with Gibby or Lynn per se individually. It was with the Gibby and Lynn.
I know.
Like, well, they're both kind of like the same pitcher. We still kind of needed two. I mean, and that's still true. Like, if you look at Miles, which I don't want to talk about too much because that's way off topic, but Miles, oh man. Yeah, we definitely still need the two, because
Bringing
we
up
can't.
the guy that didn't even
Yeah.
pitch. That's
Yeah.
how much of
I
an
know.
eyesore he's been at times.
Yeah.
He didn't even pitch the series, and he's bringing him up in the
I'm
recap, ladies and
sorry.
gentlemen.
I love you, Miles, but I think it's over.
Love it. No, but I mean, so that pretty much covers it for the recap side of the series. Like I said, pulled off that 2-1 victories. Have the Mets coming up. So before we go, we actually decided to, ask the community if there's anything that's been on their mind this past week. And the biggest thing that we heard people wanted to talk about was player development. And specifically, the question that we had was from Jeremy, who was asking that with Walker going down. Wanted to hear our thoughts on player development. I'm assuming he means both minor league and major league development.
Probably just the Cardinals as well. I'm sure.
Obviously, yeah. But in relation to everybody else, because that's who you're going to be comparing yourselves to is, what are we doing versus Tampa Bay or the Angels or the White Sox or the Guardians or, who name it, So. Before I start rambling myself, let me get your thoughts on this.
Oh gosh, well then you're setting me up to ramble about it. So with the Cardinals, I think it's particularly interesting with player development because we kind of I don't want to we do put unrealistic expectations, I think, on our top prospects when they come up. And there's a couple reasons for that. One is because we glaze them a lot when they come up. So we just kind of expect them to light the world on fire. I mean, if you look at Jordan Walker, like he was the next coming of Pujols when we brought him up. But with that being said, I think the other reason is like you look at other teams like per se like the Guardians or the White Sox or even say like the Dodgers who are like on the other end of the spectrum. And regardless of how much money they spend, they do a wonderful job developing prospects and players.
Yeah.
There's less pressure on a team like the Dodgers because you kind of already have those superstars in place and they sign those other key pieces so they can kind of they don't have to be key contributors right away. And back to the bottom again on a team like the Guardians or like the White Sox, who were terrible this year, by the way, and they don't really have too many prospects right now, but just in the past, they have more rope, I guess, you know, because they're expected to be terrible for a couple of years. Whereas us with the Cardinals, we don't really have time to be bad, you know, like, and when we bring up like a Walker, or we bring up a Carlson, we don't sign a bunch of other stars at the same time to kind of take the weight off their shoulder. We bring them up and we expect them to be good right away. And that's part of like the unrealistic expectations, because we're like right in the middle where we can't be bad and let them figure it out and take the time to develop, but we're also not so good and we don't sign so many other players that it overshadows the prospects. So like, if you were to look at like the Dodgers, for instance, like Gavin Lux is like a top 20 guy and they brought him up and like almost nobody even talked about him. And he's not doing so hot this year, but he can kind of just slide to the bottom of the lineup and take the time to figure it out. Or like if you're the Guardians, you have like 2, 3 years because you're expected to be bad for a while. With the Cardinals, it's not that at all. You know, we bring these guys up and we kind of put this like mountain of pressure on them right away to be good. And I don't think that's really good for their development, because when they do struggle ultimately, and they will struggle, most prospects do struggle when they first come up, it highlights them more. Because we expect them to be key pieces of the offense, like a Nolan Gorman or a Jordan Walker or a Dylan Carlson last year. And like I said, I think that's pretty unfair. But at the same time, that's just kind of the product of the environment we're in. Where you're in a city with a team that expects to win and you're expected to be a major piece of that, you get highlighted more in it. Yeah, I think it's just the pressure. And like, we just need to have more realistic expectations with how long these kinds of things typically, like, Jordan Walker's still only 21 years old. Like, he's not gonna, not everyone's Albert Pujols is gonna come up and hit 40 bombs and hit 330 at 20. You know, it's not realistic. Now you got to give him time. And I
I
think we did
mean,
the right thing sending him down so he can build that confidence back up.
we definitely did. And I mean, if the thing, at least for me, is obviously there are. To me, the issue is less about our development and that we've just hedged our bets with the wrong players at times or overused other guys and driven them into the ground, like Arraez, you know, for example. But
Oh yeah, that was Mike Schilt, who everyone wants back for some reason.
if you look at our roster from I'll do the last 2 years. If you look at our roster last year, for example, we had 20 homegrown guys on the 40. Eight of our guys were free agents and the other 12 were through trade. So just that amount of homegrown players alone puts us in the upper quarter of teams with the Dodgers and the Astros, for example, people that teams that got everybody here would agree are great at developing. So we're really good at getting our guys to the majors. And there are struggles when people get to the majors and whatnot, but I'd argue that that's less on coaching sometimes and a lot more on players making those adjustments than everything. Because you take Garcia, for example, somebody that everybody points to as somebody that we didn't develop well. Well, we sent him to Texas and he shit a brick there, and they released him because he wasn't putting in the work either. The only reason they got him back on the roster is because they had a bunch of injuries and they needed somebody and they knew him and so they re-signed him. And guess
Yeah,
what?
they cut him initially too, so.
That was enough of a fire under his ass to be like, oh shit, I can be unemployed and baseball might not be my life. No team wanted him when Texas dropped him and waived him. They wouldn't be, somebody wouldn't even trade money for him, cash considerations like we got when we traded him. You know, so this
Well,
idea
the
that
other
it was
guy, yeah.
Texas that suddenly developed him? No, Texas tried to develop him just like we did. He didn't put in the work. He came in and put in the work and he developed himself. There is that player accountability once you get to the majors. Now, in the minors, it's a bit different because you're getting used to new things, more spin rate, seeing like different experiences, more crowds, all that sort of stuff. So there are certain like things where coaches can really help young players develop. I'm talking about those guys 18 to 24 that make up the minors. But once somebody's like 25, 26, like they either are getting it or they're not usually. You know, that's why they're the journeymen of the quadruple A players, so to
Yeah.
speak,
Well,
and
and it's
whatnot.
not fair to highlight just the ones that don't work out either. But like, you look at Mason Wynn, who struggled last year. He struggled mightily, but like he didn't have that expectation to hit. You know, he knew what he needed to work on the offseason. He did it, and he came back this year, and he's been one of, if not our best hitter, consistently all year long. Or like a Ryan Helsley, you know, like Ryan Helsley, someone we developed. I mean, he's the lights. He's maybe the best closer in baseball right now. I think it has a lot to do with like the added pressure we put on like our top guys as opposed to like other teams, like because it's the expectations, you know, and part of that is Cards Nation, and part of that is the media, and part of it is like national baseball prospect people. I say if Jordan Walker was on a team like the Dodgers, where he could just kind of fly under the radar, he might figure it out sooner, and everyone Cardinal Nation would freak out, but that's just like part of it, I think. And this will be, I believe, good for him in the long run,
Yes.
is to be able to get through this. But yeah, like when you're put in a position where you have to be a key contributor right away, there's going to be that extra added pressure. And like some people are going to figure it out sooner and some aren't.
Yeah,
Just
and
how
I
it is.
mean, and ultimately, when you're a sports team in baseball, there's really only three primary ways to build your roster: drafting and developing, free agency, and trading. And it has to be some sort of mix and all that. One thing that happens too when we're perpetually trying to compete is you do end up trading off prospects for guys like Marcell Ozuna, Nolan Arenado, and a Goldie, you know? And sometimes those guys are going to turn out doing really well because you're trading for gold glovers, you're trading
Driven
for
talent. Yeah.
MVP quality talent. Like, you know, if you're trying to compare who we got for Paul Goldschmidt, it's like, yeah, we traded for a guy who got an MVP and has won multiple gold gloves with us. Isn't that worth sending away some top prospects? And now there are some very credible arguments to ones like Randy, who got shipped, it more seems because of a video leak, a young
Yeah, but
kid.
if you look at Randy right now, he's got a negative WAR. So, like, you know,
Yeah.
people upset about Randy Rose right now. Have you looked at his stats so far this season? It's not
Exactly.
good. It's,
Alcantara's injured for the year.
yeah, Zach Gallen's really the one that's hurting us right now because we do need that top line starter still. But again, like at the time we traded for Ozuna, we needed a middle order bat, and I think most people put in most position would do the same thing. Gallen was not that highly touted. Stop acting like you really knew who Gallen was, and that you really wanted to keep Gallen. You wanted to develop Gallen. You knew he was going to. You did not know that. No one knew that. It just happens sometimes. It's baseball.
Sandy had some potential, but again, that's why he was being asked for by the Marlins in return for, you know, Stanton or Ozuna, whoever we were going to get after Stanton, you know, denied the request. But
Yeah, I think that worked out pretty well in the long term because I think the Yankees would do about anything to get rid of that Stanton contract now.
and I mean, look, Piscotty hasn't done well. Grichik's had some ups and downs. Bader has got waived by New York and whatnot. I mean, the guys we traded for Nato and Goldie aren't doing well. So I mean, it does happen. You never know when a guy's gonna go off. And also, again, teams want to trade for guys they think are going to go off. It says something when you're doing that. I mean, and there are plenty of valid criticisms, like us Russian guys, but I mean, if you even look at our success at the major league level, just in the last few years since 2017, I mean, that year we had Paul DeJong place second in Rookie of the Year. 2018, Flaherty and Bader were fifth and sixth. Hudson was fifth in 19. DC
Psycho to
was a
Hudson.
fi DC was a finalist in 2021, and Donnie was a finalist in 2022. So, I mean, outside of 23 and 20, we've had people in these conversations. So we've been developing rookies. And again, there's always going to be misses. Like, the amount of players that actually go from AAA to the majors and succeed is a smaller percentage than I think people realize. It's literally like under 30% of
Well, and
people
not
that
only
make
that,
it to
we're
AAA.
focusing on Walker, who I think ultimately will figure it back out. He's too talented not to,
He's
or like,
21.
but we're yeah, and but you forget Brendan Donovan, who you mentioned, who's a good ball player, or Lars Nootbaar, who's a really good ball player. I mean, we're talking about just the one guy, whereas we're not talking about the people who are succeeding too. Or like Mason Wynn, who we brought up earlier, who's been phenomenal. Like if he hit 250, you'd still take him on your team just because of his speed and defense. Ivan Herrera has been super impressive. And I know he's been slumping a little bit, but he's been really impressive mostly on the season too. Walker is really young, and they expected him to be middle order of the bat right away. And I think that was kind of unfair expectations. He'll figure it out.
Let's sure hope so. I mean, I think he has a lot of talent. He just can't get down on himself, and he has to put in the work ultimately. Like, he's seeing spin like he's never seen before. He's seeing guys throw faster than he's ever seen before. And let's be real, he's 21. He should technically still be in college right now. He's a professional player at this moment.
Yeah, he just looks
Like,
like he's 31. He's young.
Dude, that kid, when he finally grows into that body and adds the muscle that he's naturally going to add over time, being in a pro program, he's going to be a beast there, ultimately. So I'm looking forward to what he can do with us ultimately. But I mean, there are proper quips within our system with us rushing arms at times. Like, there have been guys that we have rushed up. Like you said, I mean, Walker forced his way onto the roster. If we're all being serious here, he forced his way onto the roster last year after spring training. And he had a shitty spring training. Nobody would have been saying anything. Everybody would have been glad with him being down in AAA and having a nice, stint there. But you couldn't keep the kid off. Same way
Yeah,
to
and
Victor
again,
Scott.
it's expectations again too. Like, 'cause you look at Victor Scott this year, he was struggling. People wanted him to sent down. He was sent down, and they're like, "Yeah, that's the right thing to do. Let him figure it out." But since it's Jordan Walker, it looks ugly. It goes back to expectations that you expect Walker to be middle order bat, where you expect Scott to be just hit over the Mendoza line and play elite defense, and that's fine. But for now, you're not even hitting Mendoza line. Send him down. And no one was upset about it.
And we
So.
also got to remember too how injuries sometimes force a team's hand. Pujols, the only reason why he got called up originally was injuries. He
Was
wasn't on
Will Clark, right? Was Will Clark at the time, I think.
He wasn't even on. We were discussing this before we started recording, but like, his rookie card was not in existence because he wasn't on the 40 roster originally that year. He got added after that happened. So it's just one of those things. And like, Walker made it because everybody was at the World Baseball Classic, and so he got to show off. Victor Scott made it this year because Edman and literally every single outfielder it seemed we had got injured in spring
DC got
training.
hurt like 2 days before the season started, I think, something like that.
So I mean, it is what it is. Like I said, there are examples of us rushing people. There's also examples of us taking our time with people like Herrera. We gave him time. Think about when we first saw him a few years ago when Yachty was on the team.
Yeah, he came up in 2021
There were
and
people
just come
last
coughing
year
back
saying to
down.
get rid of
Yeah.
him and keep Kniza. I don't know him. Sorry.
Kisner, yeah.
Thank you. But I mean, and you look at it now, like, he just needed time. They gave him time. They kept sending him back down. And people are like, oh, why are you sending him back down? It's like, he needs to get at bats, a catcher. He needs to be seeing this stuff. His arm still sucks. And he is a liability behind the plate. We can talk about that another time. And
Yeah.
another thing we can talk about in another segment is how Oscar's death
Yeah, that's the one
changed.
I actually really wanted to do too. It kind of changed the trajectory of the whole franchise. So
Because
we'll
that
see.
messed with a lot of our development. That did end up resulting in us like forcing through trades. Like, we can get to that to another time, but yeah, that did throw a wrench in everything. We've had some unlucky experience with like Kyle Ankiel's, head screw going loose.
Well, as you mentioned, Alex Reyes too. Like Alex Reyes, if everything went according to plan, he'd be our ace right now.
What if
Not
C-Mart just
workout.
learned how to take a deep breath
Yeah,
on the
I'm.
mound? Like I said,
The
you can easily, I will
pitching.
be happy to accept an argument that we have hedged our bets on some of the wrong prospects. That is a great argument to make because we have. And that goes down to our actual scouting internally and deciding what prospects we do want to keep. And I'd love to have that conversation another time, but we're down to our last couple minutes here. But yeah, I can accept that. But to say that we don't do a good job of developing, especially for how late we traditionally draft, we are one of the better ones at getting guys to the majors, ultimately.
Well, you look at our team right now as currently constructed, outside of like Goldschmidt, Arenado, and Contreras, and I guess the pitchers, because we have the old man pitching staff. I mean, Brendan Donovan, Nolan Gorman, Mason Wynn, Lars Nootbaar, but Victor Scott before he got called up and sent back down, Tommy Edman, Dylan Carlson are both coming back soon, Ivan Herrera. I mean, like, that's most of our starters. So, and like you said, a lot of the guys we like, we think are good players. I mean, aside from like Walker, who struggled, a lot of these guys you want to keep around. So yeah, it's just like I said, what I believe it is just proper expectations. And when you put like that mountain of pressure on a guy to come up at 21 and immediately make an impact and immediately be a middle order of their bat, it's not really fair, and you got to let him figure it out at the major league level. Like you said prior, the jump from AAA to major leagues is the biggest jump there is. It's tough, and not everyone's going to get it right away, but I think Walker's got a good head on his shoulders, and he's got so much talent. I think he's going to figure it out, and we won't be worried about this time next season. So,
Yeah. But it is what it is. And we got the Mets coming up. So we have our preview with the Mets captain. Feel free to check that out. Let us know what your thoughts are on the upcoming series, player development, the Diamondback series. We'd love to hear from you. And thanks for joining RJ and I today on another episode of Birds on a Blue Note. Hope you all have a great night. Take care.